Man Up, brought to you by Construction Professionals, a program dedicated to inspiring and helping men live lives of heroic virtue. Join Joe Stopulis and Father Zach Kowski every Monday at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. on Iowa Catholic Radio. And now, it's time to Man Up.
Another year goes by, more years, more smoke.
Welcome to Man Up on Iowa Catholic Radio. We are broadcasting from the Mercy Live Up Studios. Heard on 1150 AM, 88.5 FM, and 94.5 FM. Around the globe, streaming online at iowacatholicradio.com and on the Iowa Catholic Radio app. Also, please subscribe to our podcast on iTunes and like us on Facebook. I am Joe Stopulis, along with Father Zachary Kowski. And today we are joined by John Wisniewski, Iowa football player John Wisniewski. Father Zach, would you please open us up in a word of prayer?
Absolutely. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Heavenly Father, we ask you to look upon your church with love and favor. And we ask that as we celebrate the Easter octave, that we would look forward to the resurrection, that we would look forward to our own resurrection. And we ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Happy Easter.
Happy Easter. And it's the octave of Easter, of course.
Yes.
So we have 8 days of celebration. The church holds this feast up so high, just like similar to Christmas, that we have mm-hmm. 8 days of celebration. And so really, this is a good time to partay.
And this year, we actually get to partake in the partay, unlike last year when we were fasting, unfortunately, yeah. during Easter.
Whose idea was that?
It was your idea to do Exodus 90 last year, and it just so happened that we kept going with it. Mm-hmm. But we took the octave off a little bit.
We
took it off a little bit. So yeah, it feels good to be back in non-Exodus 90 time. Celebration time. So how would you recommend that we celebrate the octave of Easter? What can we do tangibly to make it special?
Great question. So every day really is, as far as the liturgical year is concerned, every one of these 8 days, including Easter Sunday, is considered like Easter Sunday. So it's a great solemnity. So I would say, number one, go to Mass and receive the Eucharist, receive our risen Lord. At least read the readings if you can't make it to Mass. I think number two, if you're over 21, have that beer, have that wine in moderation.
I've been waiting since 2017.
Since last year. And you have a bottle of scotch.
Bourbon.
Bourbon.
I found a really good bottle of bourbon that was on sale at Hy-Vee that is normally impossible to find during our abstaining from alcohol.
So you were shopping around.
I didn't drink it.
Yeah, that's
And
that's
I actually
true.
Wasn't shopping around. I just saw it. I was shopping for food, and I saw this bottle. So anyway, yes.
Late night craving.
Yes.
Yeah. So I'll be helping you with that.
Yes, thank
you. And then
you. Appreciate that.
I think getting, as the weather gets nicer here, get outside, enjoy your family, really just enjoy the season and thank the Lord for the graces, too, that we've received during Lent. You know, we don't want to totally get rid of every good thing we did during Lent.
Say, yeah, exactly.
But it is good to be in celebration mode and joy.
Yeah, build on those Lenten graces. So we love the season of Lent, and we talk oftentimes about how much we love the season of Lent. We also love the season of Easter, and now we have the time for celebration. But obviously in moderation, and our men's group today, what we did was we sat down and said, all right, we've had a great Lent and beyond. What can we do to make sure that the strides we've made to grow in relationship with Jesus, in freedom from sin, what can we do to make sure we're implementing those things going forward? Mm-hmm. And so we just spent our entire men's group today doing that and planning ahead. And I think that's a great thing. I mean, it's game planning. So watch this segue, Father. We're about to talk about faith in football with John in the next segment. Every time Kirk Ferentz has a game, he's game planning. Okay, what is the opponent going to try doing against us? That's basically what we did this morning. Is saying, mm-hmm. all right, we know through Lent how Satan wants to attack us and where we are more likely to fall if we're doing certain things. So put those barriers up in your life. Game plan out. And I thought that was a very fruitful conversation that we all had this morning.
It was, absolutely. And I'm looking forward to hearing what John is doing and how he's really living his faith as a college football player.
Yeah, and John actually joined us for a lot of our Exodus, too, which is
yeah,
fun to
he's
have.
Been part of that.
Fun to have him on that. So we're going to head to a short break, and when we return, we will have John Wisniewski on.
Thank you, Construction Professionals, for underwriting our show, Man Up.
Construction professionals have been long supporters of Iowa Catholic Radio, and we've seen their work firsthand. It's very impressive. They do remodeling or new construction that is innovative, functional, and designing what you want. CPCustomHomes.com.
My help comes from you. You're right here pulling through.
Welcome to Man Up on Iowa Catholic Radio. We are broadcasting from the Mercy Live Up Studios. Heard on 1150 AM, 88.5 FM, and 94.5 FM. I am Joe Stopulis, along with Father Zach Houtsky, and today we are joined by John Wisniewski.
John Wisniewski is in his senior season as tight end with the Iowa Hawkeyes. He's a 2000 graduate of
2013,
Dowling.
I believe.
What did I say?
You said 2000, which is
You that'd are. Be before me.
Yeah.
He's 2013. I should know that. I had him in class.
You were there.
And he's joining us today to discuss the topic of faith and football, which could be a book.
You should think about doing a book called Faith and Football.
It's great to have you, John. Welcome to the show.
Thank you guys for having me. I really appreciate it.
So, John, give us a little bit about your background. You went to St. Francis in Dowling?
That's right. Yep. I went to St. Francis preschool. It was one of the first classes to go through. I went through eighth grade and then obviously into Dowling and graduated in 2013.
See, not 2000, Father. You 0 for 1.
He's not that old.
I'm not quite that old yet.
He's like 34 playing for the Hawkeyes.
Tom Brady.
And so wasn't it Scott Chandler? Anyway, some Hawkeye was literally 26. Anyway, okay, go ahead.
And then you went to Dowling High School. Talk a little bit about your experience at Dowling.
Sure, yep. Sports was a big part of my life growing up, so I was involved in baseball, basketball, and football throughout high school. That kind of really dominated a lot of my schedule. I loved going to Dowling. Great people there. Baseball was kind of my first love, and then once I started to get a little bit bigger, I got more attention for football. And obviously, you know, Dowling's known for football now. I don't think they were as much when I was there. I always joke, my junior and senior year were the only 2 years, like the last seven or eight, that they haven't won a championship. So they just had to get rid of me first before they started winning.
And it keeps getting worse for you because they don't stop winning. So
I know.
So you kind of laid the foundation for that, for those.
Yeah, I would agree
that
they all, that's what I like to those freshmen anyway. Watched you play and said, this is what we need. This is what we need to do. So after Dowling, how did you sign in Iowa?
They were really the first school to reach out to me, and that meant a lot. They kind of took a chance because nobody else had really done anything yet, and it was a combination of things. I really like the coaching staff. What you see is what you get. And, it's not too far from home, just about an hour and 45 minutes down I-80, and they have a great business school, and that's kind of what I wanted to go with. So it was kind of a no-brainer for me.
Well, as we talk about your relationship with the Lord and the faith that you have, and combining that with football, I look at someone like Coach Ferentz, and he, say what you will about him as a coach and going for it or not going for it on fourth down, what he does do, and no one can deny this, is he models what it's like to be a good man. And you see that from all of his players. Can you talk about the experience you've had with Coach Ferentz?
Yeah, definitely. Like I said, what you see is what you get. He's very even keel, and that's something that you look for with all these programs now turning over coaches every couple of years. Mm-hmm. I was very lucky, and that was part of my consideration of schools is just having that consistency and having a person at the helm that's very level-headed and a very respectable man. So I really appreciated my 4 or 5 years there.
Talk about the bowl game that you recently went to in New York.
Yeah.
You played at Yankee Stadium.
It was great. It was great.
It was pretty darn cold.
We'll start
with
that.
It was freezing. It was absolutely freezing. One of the coolest games I've ever played in, and I've been around for some cold games. But it was a very cool experience just playing in Yankee Stadium, minus the turf being basically an ice skating rink. But other than that,
so ridiculous.
Great. Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, you know what, though? It worked out for our favor. But that said, they've got to fix that up.
It was tough to watch at times.
Oh, yeah.
And what did you guys do? You got some free time in New York?
Yeah, we did. So one of the things, actually really the only thing that I really, really wanted to do since we were there over Christmas was go to Mass at St. Patrick's. So I was lucky.
I thought you were going to say Macy's. Oh, man. I'm glad you said
St. Patrick's.
I did not go there. I got to see quite a few things. Macy's was not one of them. But, seeing St. Patrick's Cathedral was awesome. I'd been there once before, but just being there at Christmas was an amazing experience, and I was really lucky to have my whole family there with me, too.
Did you run into our friend of the show, Cardinal Dolan?
I did not. He was actually he was sick. He was doing the midnight mass, and I wasn't able to go to that. I went the next day, but
yeah,
he was sick that day.
Joe and him are best
friends. No, I listened to his show though, and I remember he was sick that week.
He was talking about being sick. Yeah. So how, over these last few years, how have you been able to achieve that balance of being a student and being a, you know, excellent student, I should say, at Iowa, and also being an athlete and also being a person and having a personal life? How do you achieve that balance?
Yeah, I mean, it's not easy. There's a common saying, it's kind of like you got three options. You've got sports, you've got your social life, and you got school, and you can pick two, basically. So it was difficult. Football it basically was for me a full-time job. You know, Division I sports is a serious business, and you know, I understood that going in. So that really did take up a lot of my time. But obviously, my parents instilled in me, you know, the importance of academics, and I knew that more likely than not, going past, you know, after school, I wasn't going to play at the next level. And I really just wanted to focus on school and doing as best as I could there, as well as, you know, occasionally having some free time.
What is your major, out of curiosity?
So I graduated this last May with a degree in finance, and then now I'm in graduate school for sports business.
Okay, very good. Any highlights from your playing days at the University of Iowa?
Oh, I mean, just being in Kinnick. I know a lot of opposing players say it's one of the toughest places to play, and you know, I would agree with that. It's just so loud. The atmosphere is amazing, and we've had some awesome experiences over the years. Whether it's been, you know, game-winning field goal against Pitt a couple of years ago, Michigan in 2016, and obviously Ohio State.
I was going to say Ohio State's got to be coming up here shortly, but yeah, man, the Michigan game was awesome. Out of curiosity, in the locker room. You're not going to answer this. Which game did you think you had less of a chance in? Because I thought it was 0% in both, but I'm kind of curious on your thoughts.
I mean, nobody really gives us a chance except for the guys in the locker room. And, you know, we don't really think about those things. We try not to anyways. But we knew we were going up against very good opponents. Part of that is just realizing we're going to have to out-hustle them in everything we do. Mm-hmm. You know, we're not going to have the best athletes, but we're going to be the toughest team out there, and that's what we had to do both games. So,
and Michigan was legitimately beating people by 50 coming into that game, and you guys it was great. Anyway, good job on that. That was fun.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
So, John, there is a awesome tradition, which you're aware of, at Kinnick that started pretty recently. Was it this past year?
Yep.
This year?
Yep.
Of the fans waving at the children in the children's hospital from their windows. Can you talk a little bit about that? I think that is maybe the best sports tradition in college football.
Yeah, definitely. I just like how it just developed so organically. Like, I think it was a post on social media that somebody had mentioned before the start of the season. They knew that the children's hospital was going to be open. And, I remember the first game. It just kind of happened. Like, everybody turned and did it. And, yeah, I mean, people are already saying, it's just been 1 year in, they're already saying it's the best tradition in college sports. I think that really just speaks to the power of the gesture and what it means for the kids at the hospital. So I'm super happy that you know, I can claim that, as you know, this was my senior year, was the first year they did that, and I know it's going to last a long time.
I'm going to get just a little preachy here. First off, it shows you one of the good things that social media can actually do for for the ills of social media. It does have the ability to bring people together for a common cause. And then secondly, when you look at the NFL and everything, all the disharmony that's going on through the kneeling of the national anthem and all this stuff, when you can use sports, what in my mind sports should be used for is that common purpose we all have, the common unifying. So you look at the Olympics and just sports in general, we all are so divisive on everything else, whether it's politics, religion, or you know whatnot. Sports, to me, is the thing that should be coming together. And so when you see sports being used in the way where it's bringing people apart, that's one of the things the Wave does to me, and I think it's so cool that you're part of that, which is that it brings even the opposing team, everyone in the stadium, together for a common cause, which is I just love that.
Absolutely, yeah. It definitely puts things in perspective.
You're listening to Man Up on Iowa Catholic Radio. Our guest today is John Wisniewski, Iowa football player, and we're talking about faith and football. And John, we want to transition a little bit here, and because this is Iowa Catholic Radio, and you're Catholic, we're Catholic, and we wanted to talk a little bit about some of the main points of your faith journey, and maybe could you talk a little bit about what some of those turning points might have been for you?
Yeah, definitely. You know, coming into Iowa from a private Catholic high school was definitely, you know, a culture shock for me. I think it is for a lot of kids going forward. They don't realize how different it is. So it was tough at first to say, you know, I definitely fell into those partying scenes for a while. But I got involved actually my sophomore year. You know, I went to Mass pretty much every week. And my sophomore year, I got involved in what's called Athletes in Action. It's basically an evangelical sports ministry here on campus. And one of the things that I participated in as part of Athletes in Action was what's called UTC Ultimate Training Camp in Minneapolis. It's actually on the campus of University of St. Thomas, which is beautiful, and I love it up there. But basically, the idea behind this camp is the sports-based camp, and they teach you how to incorporate your faith and your sport. And they put you through this really difficult workout where it basically gets to the point where you physically cannot do it on your own, and you have to learn to rely on God and rely on your relationship. And just a really awesome experience. I did it twice, the first time as a camper, and then really the second time as a camp counselor was, I would say, a very big turning point in my life, just because it kind of made me realize that, you know, I proclaim to be a Christian, but how can people tell? You know, how am I living my life differently? What does that really mean? And coming back from that camp, really last June, made all the difference, just being able to prioritize my faith. Before, I would always read my Bible right before going to bed, and a lot of times, you know how it gets at the end of the day, you're tired, you start thinking about other things, you're ready to fall asleep. And I really decided, you know what, if I'm going to make this important to me, I'm going to start off my day the right way. So I switched it up and just started the day doing reading my Bible, journaling, and then praying for about 40 minutes, and that really kept it up pretty consistently since then. That's made all the difference for me.
That's awesome. One of the things I think that people, especially watching football or watching sports, I think they miss out on a lot is the faith aspect, especially in football where it's such a dangerous game. And that we've interviewed other people in the show, and they'll kind of reiterate the fact that there is a faith component to sports people just don't usually see. And I think it comes out, you know, the Super Bowl recently.
Yep.
We saw all three speeches after the Super Bowl. The first thing I did was thank God and talk about the faith that they have and how important it was. I'm curious in your experience, even though it's college at a public university, did you feel that, or was it more you're having to fight it? Which one was it?
A little bit of both, you know. You're going to get both sides of that wherever you go. In the locker room, it's tough a lot of times. But again, you find that community. That's what's so important is surrounding yourself with like-minded people who are on the right path, who are focused on the right things and are, you know, their faith is important to them. And so as the years went on, I've been able to find more and more people here just to connect with. And to me, I mean, that's what's made all the difference.
There's a number of, you know, Dowling students that'll be going to the University of Iowa or Iowa State University.
Heathen universities all across the Midwest.
Yeah. And I wonder if you have any advice for them as someone that's been living that life as a Catholic on a public university campus.
Yeah. There are people out there, you know, I might embarrass my sister a little bit here, but she was, you know, really concerned picking between Iowa and Iowa State. You know, Iowa's known as a party school. I don't want to go there and fall into that kind of crowd. And I said, yeah, well, yeah, I mean, that is part of the scene here, but there's all sorts of people. You just have to connect yourself with the right kinds of people, and that's something I wish I would have done more of early in my college career is, you know, I guess with the Newman Center here on Iowa's campus, right across from the business building where I spent so much of my time. I'm just now getting more involved there, and that's something I wish I would have done earlier is just find those people and connect with them because they are there on every single campus. You just have to look for them.
Yeah, there. I mean, Iowa State's got the same time as Moore Center. I think they have Focus up there. Drake has Focus at it. And all those things are – and that's what I've told high school students too is as soon as you get up there, if you don't want to have that break in faith, that's what you got to – I mean, just get plugged in because you're going to meet – first off, this is another interesting thing. I went to Marquette University, and Marquette's a Catholic Jesuit college in Milwaukee, and they have obviously really great just really great things for to continue that high school experience. It's kind of unique, though, because for 4 years, you're in this bubble, and as soon as you leave that bubble, you're back to parish, like you're into parish life like your parents are. So I'd say embrace it, because it's a really unique time. So rather than lose your faith, you can go on fire for your faith and have a special, unique opportunity at these schools. So I think you're right on point.
John, definitely. You and I have talked a lot off the air about something you do, which I think is pretty awesome, which is you do a lot of conversing with non-believers and our Protestant brothers and sisters, and wondering if you could talk a little bit about that experience of those conversations that you have.
Yeah. Like I said, I've been involved in Athletes in Action, which is an evangelical organization. It's a Protestant organization here on campus. And I've met pretty much all of my best friends here at school through that. And it's interesting because I've kind of gotten an inside look at that. I think a lot of times Catholics kind of tend to mingle only with Catholics and then Protestants only with Protestants. And so I've kind of been given this opportunity to kind of see both sides of it. And it's really interesting. Actually, one of the people that I do Bible studies with is a former Catholic, and we have these conversations all the time. And I think it's important to have these conversations, not in bad faith, obviously, but just to learn about both sides and understand both sides. So a lot of the stuff that comes up, I mean, pretty classic arguments, you know, faith alone versus, you know, the more Catholic idea of faith and works, the both and of things. The saints, the Eucharist, confessions come up, the Bible, all different topics and that's really what's challenged me to read a lot more is just understanding these things and being able to defend them against other people. And try to get them to see our side of the story as well.
Every time I talk to you, you're reading a different book, which is about weekly. What are you reading right now?
I am actually reading The Everlasting Man by G.K. Chesterton.
Awesome. Look at you.
Yes. I had to download the kind of summary and analysis to go with it because, you know, it's a little difficult to read, but just like, you know, any of his other books or C.S. Lewis for that matter, you know, some of them are a little more, they require a little bit of chewing, I guess.
Yeah.
But it's
I do the same thing.
It.
I'm in my 30s. Hey, we get it. Do you have any books that have stuck out to you that have been more influential than others? Any, you know, top one or two that you would recommend to people that are trying to get into their faith?
Yeah. I mean, number one, and I know you guys had just discussed this previously, but Mere Christianity is about as good as it gets.
Love we both just smile.
Love it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
I'm actually giving away
book.
Five copies of that today to some Dowling students today.
Yeah, no, it's made a huge difference in my faith and kind of, I mean, just like the title says, getting to the very basics of Christianity, and just he just does such a great job of making things make sense. So I recommend that book whenever I can to any of my friends or really anything else by C.S. Lewis. I mean, The Problem of Pain. Screwtape Letters, The Great Divorce is probably one of my favorites aside from Mere Christianity. All those. And one book I actually just finished recently by Robert Spitzer, he's a Jesuit. I think he used to be the president of Gonzaga. It's called The Soul's Upward Yearning, and it's a really, really interesting book. Difficult read, but just the things that he goes over explaining why we can have faith that there is life after death, that, you know, purely physicalist explanations of the human soul, it's just not even possible. And that book I just finished recently has had a great impact on me as well.
John, we're just about out of time. Thank you so much for being here today and for all the work that you do, I think, in just being yourself and speaking with other people about the faith, whether they're Catholic or unbelievers or non-Catholics. One last question for you. So you're going to be done at Iowa this year, right?
Correct.
You have another season, though, right?
No, I'm done.
No, you're done. I thought you had red shirt, and you already used your senior season. Okay, well,
yes,
darn it.
So any future plans?
Well, this summer I'm moving back to Des Moines to do an internship for the Iowa Cubs, actually, just as part of class credit, finishing up my master's degree. And then after that, you know, I've got a lot of thinking and praying to do. I have the opportunity to go back to school, so I'm looking at a couple of different things, maybe pursuing an MBA or going to study theology somewhere.
Awesome. Sounds like you're on the right track regardless. I mean, 23 years old, and you're doing all this already, so kudos to you. That just shows you what a good Dowling education
right,
can do, Father.
Exactly.
There, there you go.
It's all the chaplain.
John, John, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
You bet. Stick around, and we're going to head to a short break, and when we come back, Father Zach and I will wrap up our conversation. Welcome back to Man Up on Iowa Catholic Radio. Father Zach, quick recap. What were your favorite points in the talk with John?
Well, I think John is one of my favorite people. I had him in class.
Where do I fall?
High school.
Do you have a ranking?
You're somewhere in there, you know, in the top 100.
I just want to make sure.
But no, what an impressive guy, and his convictions are, I think, solid, and really, it's someone that is really reaching for the Lord and allowing the Lord to capture his mind, his heart, his imagination, and so I think it's just refreshing to hear a college athlete at a public university, no less, speaking very openly about his faith. And what that, I think, does for me is, I think, number one, encourages me to take reading seriously, because he really has read himself into a deeper faith. I think number two, just being open to the Holy Spirit. He's been very open to the way that the Lord is leading him, and so it'll be a lot of fun to see kind of where he goes from here.
Yeah, I didn't know John before this interview. Extremely impressed, and I want to be John Wisniewski when I grow up, because that guy's got it. I mean, but to your point, he reading is a major part of what he does, and we talk often about people getting out of their comfort zone and becoming readers, becoming lifelong learners. And luckily, you know, I started about reading when I was about 30. He started when he was, looks like he was like 17 or 16 when he started, and what that can do for you and your faith. So that was obviously an inspiring interview. Well, thank you again for joining us today on Man Up on Iowa Catholic Radio. For Father Zach Kautsky, I am Joe Stopulis. It's time to Man Up.
Man Up, inspiring men to live out their call to holiness with Joe Stopulis and Father Zach Kautsky. Heard Mondays at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. on Iowa Catholic Radio. Brought to you by Construction Professionals.